Our lesson today comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Hear God's word from Luke. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this: love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Now, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Hey, garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us. Generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures, criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. And don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people, and you'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. May God give us understanding of His holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, I missed being with you last week, and for those who are wondering, I had the honor of preaching at the installation sermon of a dear friend and pastor. And as part of the theme of her celebration, I preached from two passages on the topic of love. I preached on the one about loving your neighbor, loving God and loving your neighbor, and the second one from 1 Corinthians, which we typically hear at weddings, but has much more to say about our daily life than we sometimes realize. As most of you who know me know, I am very much an experiential learner. So anytime I'm preparing for my weekly sermon, I do so with fear and trembling, knowing that God's going to give me an opportunity to live out personally anything I choose to preach on. And of course, this week was no exception. It was filled with all kinds of annoying situations that challenge my notion of love. And I was relieved when at last Tim and I got in the car to make our drive up, because that can be a time of centering for me. And so I was centered in 1 Corinthians, and I was centered in those passages that are so challenging about how love isn't always about me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love puts up with anything. And love trusts God only. And I'm centered in this. We're in Princeton. We're about to make a right-hand turn on 206. And bam! We get rear-ended. What? Now, this isn't the first time we've been in an accident on our way up. I mean, I guess after all these many years, almost 25 years coming up weekly, it's understandable that there's going to be a few. So we're looking for a place to kind of pull over where we can have this discussion and hoping we can get it done with in time where I'm not late for the installation. And what happens, but the car that hit us takes off to the left and is trying to flee the accident. Well, if you know Tim, he's not putting up with that. That's right. So he immediately makes a U-turn and he's following that car. And they clearly recognize, okay, the jig is up, better pull over. They pulled over and we pulled over behind them. These two young women get out of the car and they meet us back behind our vehicle. They're clearly very shaken, very scared. And I'm hearing in my head, you do remember what you're preaching on, right? Loving your neighbor? And might I say not just loving your neighbor, but loving what might seem to be your enemy? And I'm standing there and all I can feel is God's presence in that moment. So you know, if you know what I did, don't you? Yeah, I went over and I hugged the passenger. And I said, we just want you safe. She was trembling. And then I went and I hugged the driver. And she said, I have my kids in the car. And she was literally in tears. And I have never been hugged so tightly. And we just stood there for a few minutes. And again, I said, we just want you safe. And we sent them on their way. And as they were walking to their car, I told them, I said, I will be praying for you. And I have been. Now, to the practical person, that probably seemed very stupid. I shared this story when I preached, and there was actually a man who came up after me afterwards and during the luncheon part, and he said, was that story true? Yeah, actually it was. And then I had another one who's an attorney said, you did get their insurance information, didn't you? And actually, no. I can only say that God was so powerfully in that moment, and that was one of my most powerful experiences that I can ever, ever remember. And what was so amazing and transformative in it, and that I somehow want to share and want you to take in, is how amazing is it to go through an experience that typically has us fired up and angry and full of rage and a desire for justice and all these different things. How is it that God was able to take all those things away from me and instead give me His love? How was it that this is going to sound so weird, but that moment is so precious to me that I want to carry it with me always. That moment is so precious that if somebody were to come to me with a $1 million check and say, okay, I'll trade you with that experience for this check, I would say no. And that may sound really strange, but there was something so beautiful in it that it was transforming. And it made me realize that we kind of get this love your neighbor and love your enemy thing wrong in a way. We somehow kind of interpret it as we're doing this wonderful thing to that other person in our forgiveness. And what I realized is that no, when we're actually able to let go of those ugly feelings and we're actually able to forgive, this is a gift to us. this was a gift to me. I mean, naturally, I am hopeful that as they left, that there was something in that experience that they'll take away that eased some of their pain, eased some of their suffering. But forget all that. God did something in me that was transformative. God said something in me that was an amazing gift that I'm still carrying with me, and I pray that I'm able to carry it with me always. Because to be able to love no matter what is the greatest gift there is. The greatest way to be genuinely happy. I mean, I think about the teachings of Paul, where he was talking about no matter what his circumstances, that he was filled with joy, that it wasn't based on those things. And so that's something that I've carried with me my whole life, and that's meant a lot to me, knowing I can make choices that determine whether I'm happy or not, no matter what people do to me, no matter what happens in my life. But I realized in that moment last week that I had a genuinely new understanding, that God took it a level up in how I can be and how I am to be. I was reminded too this week as I was reading different offerings about this. Someone mentioned that so often we are led by our feelings. And feelings can be hard to change. But when we choose instead to be led by our actions can actually change our feelings, change our perceptions. So as we want to change our life, then it comes down to us being very aware of our actions and the actions that we're going to choose in any given circumstance. And so when we have a plan and we know that there are areas of our lives that we struggle with, know that there are certain things that we have a hard time with, but if we know, if this happens, this is how I'm going to act. No matter how I'm feeling, this is how I'm going to act. That then changes who we are inside. And that was kind of what happened in that moment. I was so focused on what God was teaching me and on what He continues to tell us how we're supposed to act, that in that moment I could not act any other way. And that did indeed change my feelings. My friends, we are living in a very challenging time. A time when people are filled with a lot of rage, a lot of emotion, and with not much discipline in how they're handling that rage and that emotion. We're living in a time of confusion and a time of fear. But God continues to call you and me to something better. And especially as we see the church shrink, as we see the influence of Christians diminished, as we see fewer people walking the talk that God calls us to, we are needed all the more to really practice what He calls us to do. This is a tough passage. We know that. It's one of the reasons why it's not seen as a practical passage. It's one of the reasons why people sort of dismiss it and say, that's one of those great ideals, you know, something to aim for, but, you know, it's just not practical. I would say otherwise. And I would say that if we take it seriously, amazing things can happen. And even from a very selfish perspective, actually taking this seriously can change each of our lives for the better. as well as the lives we impact. My prayer is that we will have the generous spirit. No matter how anyone else treats us, to treat every single other person with love. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are continually challenged. There are people pushing our buttons all the time, and we can get annoyed over the littlest things, especially in this stressful world and our stressful lives. But we pray, Lord, that you would make us mindful, that you would help us to choose our actions wisely, and that we might respond even to our enemies with love. In Jesus' name we pray.